Thank you, and good morning, and welcome once again to another radio program presented to you by the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our privilege to be on the air and be able to bring to you a portion of the Word of God. We would like to take this opportunity to invite each and every one of you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock. We have classes for all ages. We have excellent teachers. We study the Bible in our Sunday school, and our teachers live what the Bible says. And so, we invite you to come. Bring your children and your families, and you'll know that you won't have to worry about what's being taught because they're being taught the Word of God. We have our regular worship service beginning this morning at 11 o'clock, and we invite you to come to this service. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, we have our regular afternoon prayer service. And then at 4:30 is our afternoon worship service. And then at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night is our midweek Bible study. And so these are our services. And we give you a cordial invitation as we know how, that you might come to the services and listen to the Word of God and learn what the Word of God says. It may be that there are those listening that have a hunger for the Word of God that you just can't satisfy. It may be that you've gone to this church and that church and around, but I tell you, would you try Independence Baptist Church? Would you come and listen? Would you come and evaluate according to the Word of God? It just may be that what you're looking for, you'll find at the Independence Baptist Church. If you're looking to worship and serve God in fullness and freedom, then you can do that at the Independence Baptist Church. We don't present a lot of programs, not men's programs, because we are there to worship God. And if you want to worship God, we invite you to come and hear what the Word of God has to say to you. Well, the last few Sunday mornings, we've been speaking concerning the seven sayings of the Savior on the cross. And last Sunday, we began saying number six, the word of victory, when Jesus said in the book of John 19, verse 30, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We spoke really about two subjects last Sunday. Number one was the strength of Jesus as he died on the cross, and how that Jesus bowed his head in a deliberate action, how that Jesus had total control of his body. Secondly, we were considering the saying of Jesus when he said, "It is finished." We were answering the question, "What is finished?" And we had two answers. Number one was that the thing that was finished was the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. And now this morning, we want to study about what else was finished. That is, the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ was finished. Jesus, according to the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, when he talked to Zacchaeus, said that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus had come into the world for a specific purpose. He did not come to the earth and then decide what he was going to do. But when Jesus came into the world, when he was born of a virgin, he knew what he was going to do. And all of his life he knew. Now, in all of the things concerning Jesus, he was totally and absolutely committed to the will of God. Even as a boy of 12, Jesus had a desire to do his Father's will. That's what he told Mary and Joseph. And then again, in the book of John chapter 5 and verse 36, we find Jesus saying, "But I have a greater witness than of John, for the works which the Father giveth me to finish, the same works that I do." You see, Jesus had a work to do, that sacrificial work of dying for the sins of the world on the last night before Jesus' death. In that wonderful high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, he said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And so Jesus came to accomplish the work of the atonement. We find that the Son of Man in the book of Luke 19:10 did come to seek and to save those that were lost. That was His desire. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 declares that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law. The book of Galatians 4 and verse 4. Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. 1 John 3 and verse 5. And all of these things involve the cross. The lost, which He came to seek, could only be found there in the place of death and under the condemnation of God. And Jesus went where they were and shed His life's blood for them. Sinners could only be saved by the one who could take their place and bear their iniquities for them. They who were under the law could only be redeemed by another fulfilling its requirements and suffering its curse for them. Our sins could be taken away only by their being blotted out by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The demands of God's justice must be met. And man can't meet those requirements. Only Jesus can meet those requirements for man. The requirements of God's holiness must be satisfied. Man cannot be holy because he's born under sin. And so Jesus came to pay our awful sin debt before God. And on the cross was where this was done. Done by none less than the Son of God. Done perfectly, done once, and done for all. Done forever on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came to do it all. Jesus Christ shed His own precious pure blood that we as sinners might find redemption in Jesus Christ. As we consider what Jesus said, it is finished. There are at least four undeniable proofs that God considered the work of Jesus Christ to be finished. What we are saying here is that God in heaven, the Creator of the world, the Omnipotent One, considered what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary as meeting all of His requirements. There was nothing left to do. That's why Jesus said, "It is finished." Number one, in the book of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, we find that when Jesus died, that the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. This veil is very significant because it separated the Holy of Holies and the holy place in the tabernacle. It was to this Holy of Holies that the high priest went one time every year and gave an animal sacrifice for the sins of the people. This animal sacrifice was a type of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave on the cross. This veil was torn from the top to the bottom. It was torn by the hand of God that we might know that God doesn't want any more animal sacrifices. The sacrifice has been accepted. His Son has given His pure, sinless, holy blood. And there's no more need for an animal sacrifice. The price has been paid. Proof number two, that God accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, is that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And I know that Jesus said he raises himself. I have no problem with that. Because after all, Jesus is God. He raised himself from the dead in absolute total defiance of all physical laws. Jesus raised from the dead by the power of his Father. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 and 25, we find that Jesus Christ took his blood into heaven to offer it to his Father, just like the high priest had to do in days gone by. God would not have raised his Son from the dead if the sacrifice had not been acceptable. God accepted that sacrifice of his Son. Proof number three that God accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus went into heaven after his resurrection and after his ascension, and there Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And right now, Jesus is sitting in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And there you see, God has accepted his Son back into heaven. Jesus has paid the price. He's been victorious over death, hell, and the grave for our sakes. And here he gives free salvation to all who will accept it. Proof number four. God honored the prayer of Jesus Christ by sending the Holy Spirit as a comforter to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church has been helped in its every endeavor. And when I use the word church, I'm using it in a scriptural sense. I'm using it to speak of the local assembly of God called out believers who have coveted together to worship Him. That's what the word church means, is assembly. Those gathered together. Those in one place. That local group. God sent a comforter to those people in a special way. God has sanctioned every work of Christ when He sent the Holy Spirit to the church, that the church might have the help that was needed from God. What a marvelous, marvelous truth that we have. What else was finished on the cross of Calvary? Oh, now listen. The end of our sins. On the cross of Calvary, our sins have been done away with. It's through the work of Jesus Christ that we as redeemed believers can stand before God pure, sinless, justified because of what He did, not because of what I do. All of my sins were transferred to the Savior. The Scripture says in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Now listen. Sin is still in me because the old Adamic nature remains in me until my death or until Jesus comes to rapture me out. But there is no sin on me. I said there is sin in me, but there is no sin on me. The distinction between sin being in me and on me is a vital one. There should be little difficulty in apprehending that thought, because I still have the Adamic nature. But I'm not condemned because Jesus has paid the price for me. I trust today that you're saved. If you're not, trust the Lord Jesus and He'll save you. We see that our time has gone away from us again today. We'll continue on this same topic next time. We have the seventh saying of Jesus on the cross for next Sunday's lesson. In the meantime, we invite you again to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church, and remember that we'll be praying for you. Thank you now for listening.